He would greet you in Swahili and say goodbye in Yoruba. Whoa, Jim, he'd be so cool and intelligent. Cool, cool is so cool he was uncool by other niggers cool. Cool, cool, ultra cool was bop cool, icebox cool, so cool, cold cool. His wine didn't have to be cool. Him was air-conditioned cool. Cool, cool, real cool made me cool. Now, ain't that cool? Cool, cool, so cool, him nicknamed Refrigerator. Cool, cool, so cool, he didn't know. After Detroit, Newark, Chicago, and so forth, we had to hip cool, cool, super cool, real cool. That to be black is to be very hot. I want to read a poem by... Oh, first I should have read Leroy Jones, S.O.S., which is printed at the bottom of the Wall of Respect. Calling black people, calling all black people, man, woman, child, wherever you are, calling you, urgent, come in. Black people, come in, wherever you are, urgent, calling you. Calling all black people, calling all black people. Come in, black people. Come on in. That might sound repetitious to some of you. You might say, why in the world do you keep repeating? But believe me, it's necessary, very necessary. This poem, when I find it, is by Etheridge Knight, who was released short of a year ago from Indiana State Prison and got married to another young black poet who has quite some fame by now, Sonia Sanchez, and they are now at the University of Pittsburgh teaching. This poem has got two naughty words in it, at least, but... nothing you haven't heard, so I'm going to risk being thrown off the stage and say them. Hard Rock returns to prison from the hospital for the criminal insane. Hard Rock was known not to take no shit from nobody, and he had the scars to prove it. Split purple lips, lumped ears, welts above his yellow eyes, and one long scar that cut across his temple and plowed through a thick canopy of kinky hair. The word was that Hard Rock wasn't a mean nigger anymore, that the doctors had bored a hole in his head, cut out part of his brain, and shot electricity through the rest. When they brought Hard Rock back, handcuffed and chained, he was turned loose like a freshly gelded stallion to try his new status. And we all waited and watched like Indians at a corral to see if the word was true. As we waited, we wrapped ourselves in the cloak of his exploits. Man, the last time it took 8 screws to put him in the hole. Yeah, remember when he smacked the captain with his dinner tray? He set the record for time in the hole, 67 straight days. Oh, Hard Rock. Man, that's one crazy nigger. And then the jewel of a myth that Hard Rock had once bit a screw on the thumb and poisoned him with syphilitic spit. The testing came to see if Hard Rock was really tame. A hillbilly called him a black son of a bitch and didn't lose his teeth. A screw who knew Hard Rock from before shook him down and barked in his face. And Hard Rock did nothing, just grinned and looked silly, his eyes empty like knot holes in a fence. And even after we discovered that it took Hard Rock exactly 3 minutes to tell you his first name, we told ourselves that he had just wised up, was being cool, but we could not fool ourselves for long, and we turned away, our eyes on the ground, crushed. He had been our destroyer, the doer of things we dreamed of doing, but could not bring ourselves to do. The fears of years, like a biting whip, had cut grooves too deeply across our backs. The young ladies are writing too, and here is Carolyn Rogers. I'm going to read two love poems, one by Carolyn Rogers and one by this sweet-faced little creature, Nikki Giovanni. She looks very sweet and meek, but she is not. And these love poems will not remind you of the poetry of Sarah Teasdale or Emily Dickinson. This one is called "Now Ain't That Love." Who would, who could understand that when I'm near him, I am a skinny, dumb, knock-kneed lackey drooling on the words of my Maharaja, or whatever they call them in those jive textbooks. Me, I am a bitch, hot, panting for a pat from his hand so I can wag my love in front of his face. A princess, black, dopey with lust, waiting for the kiss of action from my prince. I know that this whole scene is not cool, but it's real, so alive, dig it. Sometimes we be so close, I can cop his pulse and think it's my heart that I hear in my ears. Now, ain't that love? And I'll tell her. And Nikki has written "Beautiful Black Men." I want to say, just gotta say something about those beautiful, 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 out-of-sight black men with they afros walking down the street. Is the same old danger, but a brand new pleasure. Sitting on stoops in bars, going to offices, running numbers, watching for their whores, preaching in churches, driving their hogs, walking their dogs, winking at me in their fire red, lime green, burnt orange, royal blue, tight, tight pants that hug what I like to hug. Jerry Butler, Wilson Pickett, the Impressions, Temptations, mighty, mighty sly, don't have to do anything but walk on stage, and I scream and stamp and shout, see new breed men in breed-alls, dashiki suits with shirts that match the lining, that complements the ties, that smile at the sandals where dirty toes peek at me. And I scream and stamp and shout for more beautiful, beautiful, beautiful black men without a sight afros. Well, I have the greatest admiration. Sometimes I get so excited about these young people and what they are doing that I forget to write. But I'm going to jerk you back to my generation now and close the program with two poems from older poet Samuel Allen, who was born the same year I was, figure that out, and has written about the tiny, tiny people. And don't you yourselves wonder sometimes how the little black tykes are feeling about what's going on? Wouldn't you suppose that they must be very confused at times? And here is one who is confused. View from the corner. Now the thing the Negro has got to do, I looked from my uncle to my dad. Yes, Nimrod, but the trouble with the Negro is, I looked from my dad to my uncle. I know, Joseph, but the first thing the Negroes got to do, it was confusing. This fellow, the Negro, I thought excitedly, must be in a very bad fix. We'd all have to jump in and help. Such trouble, all these things to do. I'd never heard of anybody with so many things to do, got to do. I intensely disliked such things. go to school, wash your ears, wipe the dishes. And what the Negro had to do sounded worse than that. He was certainly in a fix, this Negro, whoever he was. I was much concerned as I looked at my uncle. Now the thing the Negro has got to do. And I want to read one by Ray Durham. Ray Durham is dead now. He died in 63. One of his best poems is Award. A gold watch to the FBI man who has followed me for 25 years. It's no longer so funny because many of us, I understand, are being followed by FBI men. Well, old spy, looks like I led you down some pretty blind alleys, took you on several trips to Mexico, fishing in the high Sierras, jazz at the Philharmonic. You've watched me all your life. I've clothed your wife, put your two sons through college. What good has it done? The sun keeps rising every morning. Ever see me buy an assistant president, or close a school, or lend money to Trujillo? Ever catch me rigging airplane prices? I bought some after-hours whiskey in L.A., but the chief got his pay. I ain't killed no Koreans or 14-year-old boys in Mississippi. Neither did I bomb Guatemala or lend guns to shoot Algerians. I admit I took a Negro child to a white restroom in Texas, but she was my daughter, only three, who had to pee. Yeah. Thank you.